because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have...
17:20. Jesus said, I am praying not only for these disciples also, but for all who will ever believe in me through their message. You say, what does that mean? This is what it means. It means that Jesus Christ prayed for you and I today. You are sitting here today as an answer to Jesus' prayers. He prayed for everyone from that point who would believe on him through the disciples sharing the message of the gospel. You say, what do I need to do today? One of the things we can do in a practical way is we can pray for the lost. And if Jesus prayed for the lost, we as his disciples should do the same. I'll never forget, I was outside of the library in Cambridge one night, and there was a young boy and a young girl, their brother and sister, and they were walking down the road, or walking down the street, and I approached them, and I shared the gospel with them. Little did I know of the effects that that would take place in this family's life. This young boy and this young girl started weeping as I shared the gospel with them. And as they're weeping, they confessed their sins to God. They repented. They called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ right out there by the library. I'll never forget that day. You say, well, what difference happened in their life? You ready for this? Their dad pulls up. I didn't know who he was, but he pulled up. And he was on a bicycle. He had tattoos all over his face, all over his head, all the way down his neck, all the way down his arms, all the way down his feet. His entire body was covered with tattoos. And his arms were so big, they were like my legs, but he had massive arms, some just strong weightlifter. He shows up, he has no shirt on and a backpack over. I'll never forget, he pulled up on his bicycle and he looks at them and he says, who are you? And I looked at him and I said, I'm a preacher. And I was telling your kids about Jesus Christ. And he said, their names. And he said, as soon as you're done talking to this man, for some reason I trust him, you all come home. Little did I know, this man was named the meanest man in Cambridge. His AKA was 21-0 because he had knocked out 21 people and zero losses. And here I am and I'm talking to his children, the meanest man in Cambridge's children. And those children came to our church. They began to follow the Lord. They were baptized in our backyard in a pool. They began to follow the Lord. And then the dad began to see the changes in their life. And so he came to church. And not only did he come to church, but he began to come week after week, but there was no change in his life at all. Same guy, no difference, heard the message. The Lord had to open up his heart. And so he heard the word and he heard the word and he heard the word, and months passed and I never saw any change in his life. And I'll never forget, I said, honey, I cannot eat and I'm not going to eat, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray all day long for that man to be saved. And so I walked through the city of Cambridge. I didn't eat anything. I got home that night, 11 o'clock, from early morning to 11 o'clock, walking and praying and seeking God, not eating anything. And when I got home that night, I felt the Lord speak to my heart and tell me that that man was going to be saved the next day and that it was okay for me to eat. I tell people, I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit or my empty stomach, but I heard something, I'm telling you. And so I ate that night. Well, the next day came, and he came, and he sat there on my couch. We were in our living room at that time, just a small church beginning. And we're in our living room, and beside him was his ex-wife, who was actually prostituting herself, along with her children. And we had our little Cocker Spaniel, and when you're small like that, you count your dog, too, in attendance. It was a beautiful day, and we had a few more people. That was it. Just about 7 or 8 people in the house. And so I'll never forget that day as I preached the gospel. And I had read a message by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Anybody ever heard that name? Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Prince of Preachers, one of my favorite preachers. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon had preached a message from Isaiah, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And sorry, whoever's keeping up with the lighting, you're doing a good job. I know I'm walking all over, I'm bothering you guys, but I don't know how to stand still, so don't worry about it. But Charles Haddon Spurgeon preached a message, and I remember reading that passage all day long when I was fasting and praying for his salvation, and that's the message I was going to preach the next day from the Word of God. And I never forget that day. I stood up there and I began to preach. And I said, the Bible says, look unto me and be saved all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And I said, some of you are looking to yourselves. You're looking within. You're looking to find something good within you. You're looking to find some answer for the cure that you have, for the disease of sin that is inside of all of us. And I said, the Bible says, don't look at yourself. Don't look at other people. Don't look at your past. Don't look at your inability. Don't look at your weakness. Look to Jesus Christ and be saved all the ends of the earth. And I said, see him there on the cross, bleeding and dying for your sins. See his side split open for you, bleeding, blood coming down his head, blood coming down his feet, blood coming down his hands to the ground for you. Look at Jesus today. Look away from the way you grew up, your background and everything, and look at Jesus Christ on the cross for your sins, paying for your sins. And that man that day looked. And that man that day came to faith in Jesus Christ. I will never forget seeing him there. He's sitting on my couch as I preached. And I'll never forget seeing the meanest man in Cambridge with tears coming down his face. And those tears began to come down his face and on his clothes. And his ex-wife is beside him. And she's sitting there unmoved, untouched, as if she didn't hear anything I had to say. But the Lord opened up that man's heart that day. The Lord opened up that man's heart as he heard the word of the Lord. The Lord opened his heart. And that man, I came up to him afterwards. I said, what happened? And he said, I can't explain it, but my heart was open today. And I believe. And I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And today I literally felt Jesus come into my heart as you were preaching the word of God today. And the meanest man in Cambridge was now born again. Because somebody prayed for him. Because God told us and instructed us in his word to pray for those who were lost like Jesus did, so they will be saved. And I just say, if God can do it for him, then he can do it for the meanest person in Lewis. He can do it for the meanest person in Delaware. He can do it for the outcast. He's able to save to the uttermost, the word of God says. There's no impossible situations with God. You might have family members and it seems like it's impossible, but I guarantee you, if you would begin praying and seeking God and praying for their salvation, when you partner with God in prayer, God can open up the hearts of individuals and he can save the farthest away from God. There is no hard cases with our God. There is no impossibilities with our God. Number two, not only pray for the lost, but look for the lost. Look for the lost. I mean, everywhere you go. My wife and I were in a restaurant the other day, and we began to minister to a lady in the restaurant when we were there. We were on a date night. You know, how many of you know when you get a date night, you want to be alone? You're away from the kids. You get a little bit of break. You just, not at all. Every opportunity is an evangelism opportunity. Every opportunity you have, whether at the pump, when you're pumping gas, or you're in Wawa, or wherever you are, God can give you opportunities to share your faith or pray for somebody that needs prayer in that moment. If we would be mobilized as a church, if we would get out of the bleachers and get on the court, and we would start recognizing that it doesn't matter how young or how old I am, God wants to use me. He wants to use me to reach the lost, to bring them in, to add them to the church, and to see disciples being made. We would be multiplying. We would be growing. How many say amen? You believe that? Amen. Just read the book of Acts. You'll see it. Look for the lost. You say, what does it mean to look for the lost? I thought God knows everybody who's lost and everybody who's saved. Yes, but he wants to use you. Look at this. John chapter 1, verse 40 through 42. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said. And then they followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother, a relative, Simon, and told him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. And then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. In other words, he was consumed with bringing his brother to Christ. He went out of his way to find his brother Simon, to bring Simon to Jesus. And if you know who Simon is, Simon became a leader in the church. His name is Simon Peter. And he was a man mightily used by God to bring the gospel to people, even on the day of Pentecost. Who was it on the day of Pentecost that preached that message and thousands of people got saved? It was Simon Peter. God used him in a mighty way. But his brother first found him and brought him to Jesus. Here's what I want to encourage you to do in a practical way. List at least five or more people. It could be coworkers, relatives, neighbors, people who are lost and need to be saved. And go and find them and purposely talk to them about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Purpose to talk to them about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that goes along with number three. We must speak to the lost. I've heard somebody quote St. Francis of Assisi, who never even said these words, and the church has repeated this, and it's not what he even said. Preach the gospel by all means, and if necessary, use words. Let me say this. He never said that, number one, historically. You can even look that up. Number two, that is so far from the truth of God's word. I want to read to you what the word of God says. But how can they call on him in Romans 10:14 to save unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Somebody has to share their faith with them. Somebody has to share the gospel with them. We have to tell people, and I believe this is where most believers struggle. Somehow we've convinced ourselves that no one can preach the gospel like the evangelist or like the pastor. Can I just say to you that couldn't be further from the truth? No one can preach the gospel like you. Look at your neighbor and say, no one can preach the gospel like you. Come on, I know we're here, we're in church this morning, it's a little early. Look at your neighbor and say, no one can preach the gospel like you. All right, a little hesitant on that. All right, are you ready for this? I want you to know that God used a woman. And he used a woman who had committed adultery, who was living in adultery, who had been married five times, and he used one woman to go to a city and bring an entire city to Jesus. Please don't tell me that God doesn't want to use you. By the way, she never went to evangelism school. She never went to ministry. She never even took it. She didn't have a Master of Ministry degree. She literally had a testimony that Jesus introduced himself to her, that he's the Messiah, and that one woman transformed the entire city. And God wants to use you to do that. But you have to speak the words of life. You have to be bold. The Bible says that the righteous are bold as a lion, not fearful. By the way, you say, well, I'm fearful. I get intimidated. Why are you intimidated? Who gave you that spirit of fear? I know it wasn't from God, because the Bible says God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That isn't from God. You say, I'm fearful to do that. That's somebody else's responsibility. No, you're abdicating your God-given responsibility to preach the gospel. You say, I thought that was just for men. No, I just told you, a woman did it. Let's look at the scripture. Listen to what the Bible says in John 4, 28 through 30. The woman left her water jar beside the well. The very reason she was there. She left it beside the well, and she ran back to the village. When you get out of church today, some of you need to start running to your village. Some of you need to run to the lost. Wait a minute. I kind of like just hearing the word. No. Do the word. You are here to be edified, to be built up, to be strengthened in your faith. And look at what the Bible says in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. It gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What for? Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That means all of us are in the ministry. Say amen if you believe that. I'm in the ministry. You're in the ministry. Every one of us as children of God are in the ministry to bring people to him and make disciples of all nations. Listen to what the word of God says. Then the woman left her water jar beside the well. She ran back to the village telling everyone. This is what she said. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? And so the people came streaming from the village to see him. And many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. And when they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. And then they said to the woman, now we believe. Not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. And now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. This woman introduced her entire city to Jesus Christ. It is the responsibility of every child of God to introduce their city, their ethnos, their region, their territory, wherever God has placed you, to Jesus Christ. Your office, your home, your children, your neighbors, it is the responsibility of every one of us not to abdicate that responsibility, but to accept the responsibility to share our faith with everyone. How many believe that? Say amen. How many don't believe that? Raise your hand real high. You're in the wrong church then. All right, here we go. Now listen. And I'm going to close with this. Number four. We need to invite people to come with us so they can hear the word of God. Invite people to meetings that you have. I know that you have meetings at the beach, and you're out at the beach, and I'm sure it's beautiful and it's wonderful. But man, when I'm thinking beach, I'm thinking people. I'm thinking souls. When you walk on that beach, gather people, get people. Look, let me tell you something. We went out when the COVID had hit. Our church was shut down, like a lot of churches were. We couldn't have anybody even meeting in our building because we were renting a place. And in that place, they had an athletic club, and that you could not utilize the building if there was an athletic club there. We couldn't even have eight or less. It was nobody could go in there. And so what did I do? I said, I'm going to increase our influence and work on our social media. That's how I thought. I was getting ready to get in the shower that day when I knew that we were shut down, and I heard the voice of the Lord speak to my heart, and he said, go to Great Marsh Park. I stopped, and I said, Lord, I will do what you say. I contacted the city and went in, and I filled out an application if we could use the park for the next 12 weeks. I tried to book it for the next 12 weeks. The idea that God gave me was a drive-in theater type thing where people would be in their cars, they would be safe. And so we went out to Great Marsh Park. They granted us access. People fought that, believe it or not. They said, you have to be social distancing. I said, we're in cars. The windows are up. And believe it or not, we won. We had to go to the highest level. We went to Governor Larry Hogan. Governor Larry Hogan sent a letter back, signed, and said, I wish that every church was doing what Pastor Langford is doing. You have full freedom. Every church on the Delmarva Peninsula, on the Eastern Shore of Maryland, every church has the ability to have drive-in meetings like that. I had churches calling me from different states. How are you doing this? We had 475 people there. We ran two services and an outdoor meeting. We saw people being saved from boats, people being saved everywhere. There were people getting right with God. You say, even if the government or the enemy tries to shut you down, God can take everything that's meant for evil and turn it around for good. You just have to listen to him and obey him when he tells you to do that. And I want to say to you all, don't be fearful. Let me just say this. I believe that God wants to grow every church. Why? Because everything healthy is reproducing. Everything healthy reproduces after its own kind. And when something's healthy, it's organically reproducing. And if God is good and Jesus is real to you, then you want to share him with others, and you're bringing people and you're inviting people, and people's lives are being transformed. And then there's life. There's life within, amen? There's life within the church. There's growth within the church, and people are being discipled. Listen, we are not here to be in a nursing home. We are here to be an emergency center, going to the lost with the mindset of transforming people's lives and seeing them discipled. I want to share a quick story with you. I'll never forget, I was at work one day, and I was driving a truck beside a guy. He was new on the job, and I was supposed to be training him. And I could tell he was very heavy and very angry. Man, he was so angry. But he had a lot. There's a reason. Hey, can I say this? There's a reason why people are angry. You have to understand there's a root cause to the anger. And as Christians, stop telling them what you think and start listening to what they've been through. Start listening, because people have been through things. And so he started talking to me and telling me some things that had gone on in his life, and it was very dark. One of his family members, in fact, I can say this, his daughter was hurt by a man. And he told me that he had a gun at home, it was loaded, the bullets were in the chamber, and he was going to take his life. This is the first day I'm sitting by this man. He just began to pour out his heart. People can tell if you want to listen to what they're saying. And whatever's in the heart comes out of the mouth if you listen. And he began to pour out his heart to me. And he began to tell me every reason why he's an agnostic. And I looked at him and I said, I'll tell you what. I'll give you 10 minutes. You tell me every reason why you're an agnostic, and I'll give you, if you give me 10 minutes, I'll tell you the reason why I'm a believer. He said, that's a deal. He told me every reason why he didn't want to believe in God. He told me the pain he had gone through and how he was ready to get off work and go take that man's life that day. I sat by him on the truck and I said, okay, your 10 minutes is up. Now my turn. And he said, deal. I went ahead and for 10 minutes, I got to share with him why I believe in Jesus Christ. He listened for 10 minutes. We got off the truck and he looked at me and he said, where do you pastor at? And I said, I pastor here. And he said, I'll be there Sunday. I said, no, no, no. You told me that your wife goes to another church. Don't come to my church. You go to where she's at. I want you to be with your wife. He looked at me, smiled, and he left. That Sunday came around. I got up to preach the gospel, and as I stood up in front of the church, the doors open, and this guy comes in with a big grin on his face. He had plaid shorts on, a plum shirt, and sandals on his feet. Big smile on his face. And he walks in, he's looking at me, smiling. He comes and sits down. He was just happy to be there. And I'll never forget what happened next. I preached the word of God, and as I delivered the word of God, I saw the Spirit of God moving on him. That man, with nobody even telling him anything to do, dropped down on his knees and was the one weeping on the floor in front of everybody as he was getting his heart right with God, confessing his sins and surrendering his life to Jesus as his Lord. That man got up a new man. He told me he went home, he emptied every bullet out of his gun. He forgave the man who hurt his daughter and actually made peace with him. And the whole family made peace with him. You say, what happened? It was not in a church service. Nobody's playing the keys just right. The lights weren't even low. It was just somebody working with another coworker, just willing to share the gospel, willing to listen to what the world is actually saying. Sometimes we want the world to be where we're at when they don't even know why you are where you are. And we need to listen to them. And then we need to offer them the hope of Jesus Christ. And I'm just saying to you, every one of us today, we all have a responsibility to pray for the lost, like Jesus taught us to pray for the lost, to look for the lost, to speak to the lost, and to invite the lost to hear the word of God. And their lives can be changed. It could be on a truck. It could be at a cubicle. It could be at your house. It could be over the phone. But we need to share the faith that God has given us, the faith that you and I say we believe, the faith that actually does something, the faith that bends down and picks up people when they're broken, the faith that goes to the homeless shelters, the faith that goes to the prisons, the faith that goes to the jails, the faith that goes to the nations, the faith that goes to our neighbors, the faith that goes to our family members. And maybe some of you have family members who are lost and they need Christ and their lives are just out of control and you know they need the Lord. I would suggest to you to pray for them, but speak to them. Pray for them and speak to them and pour out your heart to them and tell them who Jesus is. Tell them who God is. Some of them might not even know God. We have a generation that doesn't even know God and they need to be introduced to God. They need to be reintroduced to the God. Sometimes we're expecting people to act like Christians and they don't even know the word of God. All they need is what that little boy and little girl needed when they were by the library and I told them about Jesus. That's all they need is somebody to tell them. They need somebody to tell them. I'll close with this story. The Bible says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Within the gospel, there's a gift of God, a righteousness that is being revealed, that God is a righteous God, that we are unrighteous people. We've fallen from God. We've fallen away from God, and we're in sin. And the wrath of God is upon every single person that is living in sin. And one day they will stand before that God. They will stand before their Maker for everything they've ever done, right, wrong. They will stand before God, and they will be judged by a holy God. And that is a holy moment. That is a holy moment, and no one is going to be able to speak for you. It's between you and God face to face, and the bottom line is this. Will the world be innocent or guilty when they stand before God? For us as Christians, we know through Jesus Christ and his shed blood on the cross and his gift of righteousness, we will be declared innocent and righteous only through the grace of God. Somebody say amen if you believe that. Only through the grace of God. That's it. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It says mercy. He's a merciful God. He had mercy on us. We're no better than the world. And by the way, when you go out and you witness to people, remember this. Never, ever share your faith acting like you know more than they do. It's always a wonderful thing to look at somebody and say, I'm no better than you are. I didn't deserve what God gave me. I understand where you're at. You need to listen to him, identify with him, be relevant with him. Listen, we went out last week, and we went to a park in Salisbury Park. And we went out there, and three UMES students trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior as we went out evangelizing. We went out to find people and bring them to Jesus, to speak to them. I was in Africa one time, and as I share this story and I'm done, we went to a meeting with about 800 and some young students, and they were standing there in Africa, 98.6% Muslim city we were preaching in, 98.6%. And by the way, this is during Ramadan. So it's a holy moment. All of our banners were torn down. There were some threats and things like that towards us. When we would go to villages, and this is what makes it real to you so you guys can understand, because I know in the West, sometimes it seems a little bit different. It's hard to understand this, but when you preach the gospel and children turn to Christ and believe on Jesus Christ and renounce their religion, we actually heard them publicly being beaten for their faith in Christ. We would hear the whips, the hits going on after young children would, from their families or even from the teachers in school. We showed up one day at a place and we began to speak the gospel. There was over 800 students there and they're all standing around. I actually have video footage of this event. Every detail is actually in the video and I would love to share it with you sometime. And we're there in Lindi, Tanzania, and we're ministering the gospel. 800 and some youth are there, and as we're preaching the word of God, a local imam came in and he tried to stop everything. He walked in front of us and he said, who gave you authority to speak in this name? Who gave you authority to speak in the name of Jesus? Who gave you authority to speak on the Holy Spirit? Stop this. And he told all the students to leave. All of them began to flee. This man was angry. We thought he was going to personally attack us in some way. And as we stood there, we watched as all the youth went back into their rooms and they scattered. And then we turned around only to see, it was, I can't remember exactly the number, it was 14 or 19 youth standing there in a circle, all together. And the youth are standing there together. And I asked the interpreter, I said, why are these young people here? He found out, he came back to me and he said, they're standing for Christ. Amen. Tears came down all of our eyes. We knew the cost. We knew that this could cost them their life, or they would be severely beaten for this. The imam was standing there watching this unfold. And we turned around and we looked at them. All of them are weeping, all the students. They said, we're standing here for Christ. 14 or 19 of them, I can't remember the number, but they're standing there. All of the others are watching. They went back to the rooms, but they're all looking out the windows. And I'll never forget what happened next. This young lady, probably 13, 14 years old, was standing there, and she began to scream out, the most hideous scream you could even imagine. And her body was jerking and back and forth, and people were trying to hold her, and she's screaming out. And people began to wonder what's going on. Every student, all 800 in this circular buildings or around the circle, began to look at her and wonder what's going on. The imam standing there looking at her and wondering what's happening. And I said, bring her to me. Bring her over here. They brought her over. And I said, in Jesus' name, be quiet, you evil spirit. Immediately, she stopped screaming. She fell down. Her eyes opened back up. She's on the ground. And then I said, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you, evil spirit. You stop right now. And the spirit could not have any control over her. And we gave her the gospel. They translated. She was able to hear us now. She was not able to hear. And then she called on the name of the Lord and believed on him. She got up freed. Freed. Totally set free. A believer. And then what seemed to be a problem with the imam became our platform for the gospel. And I looked at everybody. I said, ladies and gentlemen, what you have just witnessed with your own eyes is the power of God. Jesus is the Son of the living. This is with the imam watching everything. Is the Son of the living God. And he came here to die on the cross for your sins. He was buried in a tomb, and the Bible says after 3 days he rose again. And what you have seen with your own eyes is the evidence of the power of God to save you if you will repent and believe on him. And it gave us a platform to preach the gospel to the entire group. What I'm saying is this, is God's not looking for some special person. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. His heart. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And that is what is closest to his heart. And I want to close today in prayer for each and every one of you, that every one of us would say, God, I want you to use me. Fill me with compassion. Fill me with love, as that song they sang earlier, to those around me. So I will be able to reach out and be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. And I'm just going to pray right now. If you guys would just bow your heads and close your eyes as we close today. I realize that this message can be very challenging. And I realize that many of us probably think that's someone else's responsibility. But I believe that the Lord works through his word. And when the word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit speaks to people. And if you're here today and in your heart, you know the Lord is speaking to you. I'm going to pray in just a moment. And I would just ask you right where you are. You know that God's calling you. You know that God wants to use you. He wants you to pray for the lost. He wants you to speak to the lost. He wants you to bring the lost to him. He wants you to invite the lost where they can hear the word of God. And you're in here today and you say, my heart is yours, Lord. I surrender my heart. I just want to pray for you here today. And I want to ask a very important question. Maybe there's someone in here today. And if you died today and you stood before God, you don't know where you would spend eternity. You don't know where you would spend eternity. I just want to say to you, there's a literal lake of fire. And it's not to scare, it's to be honest with you. And out of love, I would say there's a heaven and there is a real lake of fire. And God doesn't want to send anyone to that lake of fire. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God loves you. And if there's someone in here today that does not know of a certainty that if they died today, that they would be innocent before God, then today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, but today is the day of salvation. I wonder if there's one with every head bowed and eyes closed, please. I wonder if there's one person in here that would say, I'm not sure that if I stood before God, that I would be declared innocent by God. But today, I want to know my sins are forgiven and Jesus is my Lord. With no one looking, and you're unashamed to just lift your hand, you say, pray for me. I need to be saved and I know it. Is there anybody in here? Just one person, anybody at all? Any person in here at all? I don't see any hands, and I trust that everyone in here is born again. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for those who are here today that God would move us to compassion to reach those who do not know Christ. Father, I thank you for your holy word. I thank you for what you've spoken to us today, and I pray in Jesus' name that today we would begin to pray for the lost. We would bring the lost to you. We would speak to those who are lost, and that we would invite the lost to have a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that whatever you're doing in our hearts, we would not abdicate our responsibility, but we would accept it, and we would see fruit from that here in this church in Lewis, Delaware. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you guys for your time. It's a joy to be back here. Thank you so much.